2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. I need about four guys to help me pass out notes. And for all the gentlemen that are going to help me, I do not have enough for everybody because my printer went haywire. So enough for each couple can have one. If they're teenagers, you can split it up, and that'll be fine. No, it was my fault. Thank you, Ade. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Atong, would you turn the lights off back here, please? That's all right, Cliff. You're getting old. Second Corinthians chapter 12, please. Everybody has enough notes. We have a few extra copies here and there. If you need one, by the way, everything I'm going to preach is in the notes. Well, not everything, but the verses. That's the harder part. I don't want to spend time turning to this many texts. All right, if you need notes, let's all stand, please. I do not put the verses in here. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. For all of you that have been here and or were home but have listened to the preaching, I know I never waste my time, nor yours. I said in Sunday school about a month ago, I'm going to assume that if you're not here, you listen to what I preached. This is the fourth sermon on the same text. None of the sermons are even remotely the same. We talked about his vision and that he hadn't talked about it, couldn't talk about it. We spent 1 week on that. We spent a week on the fine print, meaning, all right, so if God gives you this good revelation, what might follow from that? 2 weeks ago, not last Sunday, the Sunday before, I talked about how God would not say yes to Paul, David, Moses, Abraham, and the Lord Jesus. That word. This week, again, all of these are on the same text. This week is going to be the simplest sermon you will ever hear. But we'll see if you actually listen. It has four very simple ideas. I'm going to contrast, but because of the way I'm going to focus, I'm not going to focus on what unsaved people do. I'm just going to mention it, because this morning we're going to talk about Christian instincts. Ade, I said this earlier to you. My mother as a child, forgive me, as a teenager too, and as an adult, has told me probably 10,000 times, Ralph, go wash your hands in the sink. If I sit down to eat lunch and haven't washed my hands, even if I already have the sandwich in my hands, I have to put the sandwich down and go wash. Why? It's instinctive. Otherwise, I'm thinking my mother, Ralph, do you have those kind of instincts? We're going to talk about Christian instincts. And I'm going to say this for a half a dozen people in this room. If you are not rebuked weeping, we have a problem. Because if this doesn't speak to you, I think some of us have developed some instincts that are unchristian. We'll see. By the way, this is just basic Christianity. Verse 1, just for the context. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory, which is a convoluted way of saying, I got to say this, but I don't want to say this because I don't think it'll do any good. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, utterances that cannot be uttered. which is not lawful for a man to utter. It's not only I can't put words to it, I cannot, how would I say, legally do so. Verse 5. Of such a one will I glory, boast, or brag. Yet of myself, I think we dealt with this for a week also, I will not glory or brag or boast except in my infirmities, my weaknesses. Because in my weaknesses I find Christ, you see. Verse 6. For though I should desire to boast, brag, or glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear. Why? This feeds into verse 7. Lest any man or any person should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Remember, we are all humans, even Paul. And lest I should be exalted above measure, either by himself or others, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. It was given by God, obviously. It was a thorn in the flesh, obviously something physical. And Satan somehow used it. It was the messenger of Satan to buffet me, to give me a beat down. Why? Lest I should be exalted above measure. But by the way, like Paul, we're human. What does Paul do when he has this tremendous physical whatever? For this thing, I besought or begged or asked or pleaded with the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Why? For my strength is made perfect in, let's translate this backwards, in your infirmity, your weakness, same word. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory, brag, boast in my weaknesses, infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. The title of the sermon this morning is Christian Instincts. I have part of the title in your notes. Discovered during, everyone look at me. You don't know who you are until you have a crisis. All of your conversation is just talk until you have a crisis. In the crises of life, it determines, do you have Christian instincts? And what we find in Paul, we're just going to follow what Paul did. You're going to see fundamental, do you know what an instinct is? Something you don't pray about, you just do. If you go out to eat, have you ever started eating without praying? Are you forced to stop? That's an instinct. Whether it's born in you or you learn it. Now, I'll begin quickly with some funny instincts. But friend, we're talking Christian, look at me, instincts. The second one and the third one, if we don't get those, all right, let's pray together. Father, help me as I share simple ideas. They're just what Paul did, what we see in this text, and we could show this in many texts, but it's so clear here. Help me to be a help, I ask in Christ's name, amen. Instincts. I'll begin the sermon by not talking about Christian instincts. I begin the sermon by talking about driving. I've been driving tractors since I was a young boy. Grew up on a farm. You drove tractors. You drove tractors, and you probably drove trucks and cars when you were too young to drive where I'm from. By the way, friends, do you think about it at a certain age, do you think about driving? You just get in the car and go, yes or no? Until you go to Scotland, England, or Wales. 1999, our first trip to Scotland. You get off the plane. Now, by the way, I had read in the stupid guidebook, but I thought, no big deal. I found the first three problems. They're the easy ones. By the way, they're the easy ones to fix. I knew that when you go to England, you sit on the wrong side of the car to drive. You know there's a right and a wrong side. You say, which is the right side? The American side, of course. Louis, can I have an amen? It's not the British side. So you're on the right side of the, excuse me, it's the wrong side of the car. That's a problem. The bigger problem, shifting with your left hand. I can shift just fine. The only car I've ever owned that doesn't have a 4 or 5 speed is the one I drive now. I like 4 or 5 speeds. But that was unique. The third problem was driving on the wrong side of the road. But all of those I knew about. But there's three other things. And friends, they're instincts. When we drive in America, you're driving down the road, and you're going, you know, and you come up to a stoplight and you're going to go right, you look left. If you come, let's go on Wadsworth Road, and you go west, and you go over Highway 41, there is, what's that thing called? You come to the roundabout. The only thing that's important is what? You look to the left, make sure nobody's coming, and you turn right. Friends, that becomes so instinctive in your thinking until you're in Scotland, and guess what? The roundabout, you go to the left, and you have to look to the right. It's impossible. You always look to the left. I hate to confess it. This was our second trip there. We were leaving town 5 o'clock in the morning to get to the airport. I came up to a roundabout. I'm about 3/4 asleep, and we're driving fast, and I do not go to the left. I go to the right. You say, did you get in a wreck? No, God was merciful. Nobody was up that early. You say, it's instinctive. You always, and then you go. And over there, you always, how do you do that? Well, I'll just give you one more problem. Are you a polite person? I've been trained. Sherry, you're 24, 25. I've been trained for almost 44 years to be nicer. It hasn't rubbed off yet, but I approach that occasionally. We're in a parking lot at some castle in Scotland. Somebody was coming, and most of the roads in Scotland, in case you haven't been there, are one track. Do you all know what that means? They're one track with a pullover. Now, you're supposed to be driving on the wrong side of the car, on the wrong side of the road. Everybody's with me. So somebody was coming, and I thought, I'm going to be nice to this guy. I should have done this. What did I do? Pulled to the right, and this guy went. Because my instincts took over. I was being nice until I saw the guy's eyes this big, and I'm like, I must have. Then I wanted to have a sign on the top of the roof, dumb American. Because instinct. Are y'all with me on instinct? All right. Well, let's look at the text. It's all in your notes from this point, friend. 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul's first instinct. He has a crisis. By the way, you will have a crisis. You will have many crises in your life. I talked to my friend Frenchie this morning. Look at me in the eyes. You will have crises. So if you live in fantasy land, just hold on for a week or two. Everybody has crises. Singular and plural. Paul has a crisis, some sort of a physical affliction. Verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. And I love this language. There was given, it's like, I don't want that gift. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And Paul's first instinct is we pray. For this thing I begged, pleaded, asked, requested of the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. It was instinctive to pray. So friend, you go into a crisis, and we all have crises. The bad crises aren't the crises. They're the ones that do this. You have something that doesn't go away, and you can't figure out how to get it away. The first instinct, Ralph Lee, wash your hands in the sink. Your first instinct as a Christian is to pray. I'll just say this and never mention it again on point one. That is not the instinct of an unsaved person. An unsaved person drinks, drugs, gambles, look at me, shops, buys, runs, moves, and 400 other things anything because there's not something on the inside that immediately in a crisis, instinctively, we pray. I mean, Paul has a crisis, he prays. We could find this throughout all the Bible. We all know this. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Of course, it's what a believer does. We pray. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Psalm 145. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will hear their cry and will save them. So my friends, as a Christian, we pray. We pray instinctively. We don't have to think about it. Do I need to pray now? It's just what you do. I've said this, I'm not going to give my testimony. If you're here this morning and you've not been in this kind of a church, I did not get saved out of deep sin. I got saved as a boy, 9 years old. But friends, God is my witness. My only testimony at 9 years old was this. Before I was saved, prayer never entered my mind. Without anybody talking to me, when I went home that night, got into bed, it was in the summer, pulled a sheet up over me upstairs in the old farmhouse, I thought these words, now I can pray. I'm not a great prayer warrior. I'm not going to talk about how wonderful I am, but I do know this. Instinctively, in a crisis, we pray. 4 or 5 years ago, my son said a compliment to me. He doesn't compliment. By the way, in our family, you don't compliment each other. You harass each other. My son gave me the best compliment he's ever given me. He said, Dad, I am thankful I did not grow up in a drinking culture. And I said, John, what do you mean by a drinking culture? I'm not going to get into all the specifics. This is my son's definition. He said, for most people that he's around, everything in life, look, is a reason or a cause to get to drinking. Do you all know what that's a drinking culture. You have a 4th of July, what do? You drink. You have Christmas, what do? You drink. You have a 3-day weekend, what do? You drink. Look at me, it's instinctive. As a Christian, my instinct isn't to drink, go do some drugs, go gamble, run away, move away. My instincts is what Paul has, you pray. That's the instinct of a Christian. So I say in your notes, we pray. We pray instinctively, no premeditation. We pray from the depths. We pray out of our hearts to the Lord. We pray to our Heavenly Father. We pray believing God will hear and answer our prayer. Now, friends, this is not a religious sermon. Everyone look at me. Look, this sermon is about what we do. I want you to see the second thing Paul did from the text. Look what he says. Verse 9, after he has prayed, the next thing Paul records is this, and he, who's the he? The Lord said unto me. And then he tells you what the Lord said. My grace is sufficient for thee. By the way, that's a wonderful text. But that's not my point. The second instinct a Christian has is we listen. We listen. By the way, and you know how you know you listen? You can repeat what the person said. How do you know you haven't listened? You have no idea what the person just said to you. We listen. Now, I'm going to say this in passing. I'll repeat it again later. Unsaved people, they talk. They can't stop talking. And they usually talk about... They go to a funeral, the funeral becomes about them. They go to a wedding, the wedding becomes about them. They go to a celebration yesterday, and the celebration becomes about them. They just can't stop talking. Something is wrong with our instincts, because as a Christian, the first thing that happens, we pray, and then we listen. I wonder what God has to say. We'll read verses quickly. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man or woman be swift to what? Slow to speak, slow to wrath. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. 13:3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. 17:27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Ecclesiastes, keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, and be more ready to what? Hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh from the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Isaiah 30, their strength is to set still. Verse 15, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. Look at me. The average church service this morning in America is so noisy that no one could hear God if God was yelling, because the service is noise. Rhoda said it in Sunday school. Rhoda, I'm complimenting you. Talked about being silent, thinking, meditating. There is something wrong with American Christians. Our reaction is to blab our big mouth. When a Christian listens, it's what we're known for. Can I say this? This is how you become a Christian. You know how you become a Christian? Hearing the gospel. Wow. Do you know what doesn't change? That instinct becomes more and more and more of who you become. A person that likes to listen. You ever around somebody that knows something you don't know? What do you do? Shut up and listen. Let's read these. Skip the Psalm 1-2. Romans 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a beautiful promise. But how then shall they call upon him, on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Goes on, verse 17. So then faith, this is talking about the initial faith in Christ, cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here's one of those beautiful statements. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to give some points in a moment. Tom, do you have... Would you put the first slide up? Did you know that women use about 30,000 words a day while men only use 15? Yes, because we have to repeat everything. And the husband says, what? Next. Husbands are the best people to share secrets with. They never tell anyone because they aren't listening. Now, the next one, give me a second, Tom. I think these are slightly out of order, but it's not going to be a problem. I looked on the internet for the world's biggest mouth. This is real. Take a breath, everybody. Go ahead, Tom. That guy can put a Coke can in his mouth. And that's not the biggest mouth in the world. Next. Next. That is the biggest mouth in the world. Measured. Next. She can put an entire apple in her mouth. I'm going to read what I have in the notes. I want everyone to look at me. I want to be gentle, so I'll tell the funny story first. Tom, is there another joke? I want a man who's loyal, faithful, patient, attentive, forgiving, unselfish, even-tempered, and a good listener. And the friend says, you want a dog. I love kids. Now, when they're real small, they don't yet have enough words. But somewhere around K4 to K5, they start getting enough words, but they don't yet have a buffer. You know what a buffer is? So whatever comes into the mind comes right out of the mouth. Now, some kids are very sweet. I see Haley back here. You have two sweet children. One of them is sweet always, and one of them, I won't go any further. I love the kids. I do. I'll go to K4 and relieve the teacher so she can go to the restroom. I'll go down and see Jen Rush's group. But little kids, they have several problems. Number one, they're still mostly small. So when they walk up to you, they hit you somewhere between your knee and your hip. And normally the head hits right where something protrudes. Kids, I've had kids just do this. You have a big belly. My favorite one was in the last month. Some kid, I don't know what I was doing because I didn't think they could see that high. They looked up at me and they said this. This is the greatest thing ever. Pastor Warren, you have big ears. Now, I'm serious about this. I want to be known for having big ears the rest of my life and a smaller mouth. What do you all think? I had a man come into my office in the last few months. I honestly cannot listen to the person over a few seconds. I knew the person was going to come and tell me a problem that his wife was having or he was having with his wife. We were in the office for 30 minutes. Forgive me, I'm generally try to listen to people, but I knew this person. So he walks in. For the first minute or two, he talks about his wife's issues, whatever they were. And for the next 27 minutes, he talked about, say it. That's not the problem. The problem was he didn't know he talked about himself. Can I say this? Do you have a big mouth or big ears? I'm asking you a question. I'm asking you a question. Which do you have, a big mouth or big ears? Because you do understand, fundamental to your Christian growth, you got saved by hearing the gospel. You know how you mature? Hearing. We should be great hearers and not so great at talking all the time. So let me just say this. I'm trying to awaken that 3 to 5% in this room. If you don't know yourself, ask other people. Are you always talking and primarily about your opinions and yourself? Shut up! Learn to listen. I can imagine being seated by someone that's very brilliant in some field and hearing some, and by the way, it's always people that have no education, that just talk about themselves. Here you got a genius and this person's doing the talking. Wow. In your notes. Oh, by the way, forgive me. What are we talking about this morning? Christian what? We start with prayer. Secondly, we listen. Why do we listen? That's how we became a Christian. Everything is listening. The best listeners on earth to God ought to be Christians, which means I don't care how you do it. I don't care if you read the Bible, listen to the Bible. Hearing ought to be central to your life. And when you're around people that know things you don't know, and listen. And if you don't know anybody that you don't think you know what they know, we got a problem. Actually, there's no hope for you. In your notes, we listen. We became a Christian by listening. We listen. I like this a lot. How about this? We listen more than we talk. Far more than we talk. I'm going to say this, and I'm not anything about anybody personally. This is me. I like to read. Do you know why? I like to listen to people that know things I don't know. Now, some of you aren't readers. Get the book on tape. You can get it all on, what do they call that? Audible. You say, I'm not a good reader. Shut your mouth and start listening. We talk more, and we listen more than we talk. Far more. We listen to God. We listen to His Word. We listen to His Word daily. This is the hard one. We listen silently, meaning we have a quiet mouth. Look up here, friend. Look up here. Hey, up here. I'm waiting. We quiet this. We quiet this. We quiet this. Otherwise, you're not listening. There are people that every time I talk to them, they're not listening. After a while, I don't like talking to people like that. Because if you know something I don't know, I will listen. I get around these real sailors, and they start talking sailor stories. Most of them are lies, if Cliff is telling them, but they're good stories. But they know things I don't know. I get around Duncan here. He worked in a whole world different than mine. I want to know what he knows. Why? You want to listen. Why are you talking all the time? Fools talk. Fools are known by their talk. Christians are known as people that what? Look at me. Instinctively we pray. Instinctively we listen. And we listen silently. The whole point of reading a book is you're not talking. You're listening to an author. Even if you disagree, you're still listening. Why would you go to a lecture? To listen. You want to listen. You want to close your mouth and have a silent mouth, silent mind, silent heart, not jumping ahead 44 steps because you know. No, listen. Listen. I will say this. I have a difficult time listening to nothing. I confess I have certain things I don't like. I cannot stand to go into a restaurant where a bunch of old geezers are talking about the food they ate 2 weeks ago and how the chili was too hot. I could care less. But you get me around anybody in any... I have a cousin that has... I doubt if he graduated from high school. He's not the smartest guy I've ever met, but he has one area of expertise. You know what it is? Native American artifacts. He and his brother, or two brothers, and my aunt have discovered thousands of them. And he understands their history. He understands what they're made of, where they're from. Every time I'm around him, I just do this. Talk to me about what you're learning. Because I want to learn. By the way, do you know God? I asked you a question. Then why are you talking all the time? Why is your mind just going... Quiet the mind. Learn to listen. That's what Christians do. We listen. We listen a lot. We listen more than we talk. Hopefully far more than we talk. We listen to God. We listen to His Word. We listen daily. We listen silently. And I would say we listen humbly and obediently. And for me, the ultimate form of listening is to read. Because when I read... You have to be silent to hear what the book is saying. Whether that's the scripture or a good book of some variety, I can listen and it's not about me. I'm listening. I'm putting myself under someone else. Do you know that there's habits you develop in a lifetime? You know jobs have certain bad habits? Yes or no? I was a med tech in another age. Anybody that's been around, not anymore because it's been years, but back in the dark ages, that's where I worked. When I saw a person, I would look at their veins. Because I drew blood. So I want, it's just intuitive. You're looking, do they have a good vein that I can draw blood from? If you're around police, because they deal with criminals every day, if they're not careful, and it's a fight for any police officer, it's not a secret, They start seeing that everybody has an angle. And by the way, does everybody have an angle? No. But if you're not careful, any police officer knows this because that's who you deal with. You start thinking everybody has this problem. By the way, if you ever talk to a mortician, he sees everybody as prophet at the end of the life. It's part of it. Now, I'm going to say something to you, and I'm not good at this. Pastors sometimes can't quit talking either. Thank you, Nancy. I knew she was waiting up. Love you, sister. Friends, when I get around a group of pastors, you ever tried to have a conversation? Most, by the way, all of my friends, Bowder, Moritz, Saxon, guys that are close to me, you're going to learn something about them. They're smart guys, but they can listen to you, especially if you have something to say more than your fingernails. Well, we move on to the third point. I want to see if you can, let's read the verse first, please. After Paul prayed and after he listened, you hear me? How do we know he listened? Because he heard what Jesus said. Yes? Number three, we get it. And where do we get that from? There's a therefore twice in the text. Do you know what that means? Look up here, friend. Paul had a crisis, a thorn in the flesh. First thing, he prayed. And then he listened. And when he got done listening, he had heard what Jesus said. And then there's a therefore. There's two of them. Do you know what that means? I got it. I got it. Wow. I know why I have the thorn. I know what the purpose of the thorn is. And there becomes a therefore. Wow. So you're different today than you were yesterday because you got something. I will say this. They don't get anything. It is embarrassing to meet somebody 40 years later that still has the same stupidity they had 40 years before. Say, they just never get anything. Why? My guess, and by the way, this is the subtext of the sermon. I'm going to give you it. I'm not going to mention it again. My guess is if you don't have these instincts, you're not a Christian. I don't care about the religious language because I don't believe you can be a Christian without praying and you just want to listen to him because that's how you got saved. And you get things just like you got the gospel. Look what it says in verse 9. And he said, Paul's listening. How do we know? He repeats what Jesus said. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore. He got it. I will rather glory, boast, brag in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, he's getting it. I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. For time, we're not going to read all the verses. What you're going to find in the verses, and these are just a smattering. Friend, look at me. If you're a Christian, you pray, you listen, and there are those times when there's a therefore. I call it many things. But if you look at 2 Timothy 2:7, consider, meditate on what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding. There is that, it clicks. Jesus was talking to them about himself and dying on the cross. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. A little later they say, while he opened to us the scriptures. 24:44 says, these are all the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Oh, I love this. Open thou mine eyes. That's the verse that I like to pray when I read the scripture. Why? Not that I get renewed truth, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Friends, I have many words in your notes. I'm going to read them left to right. when Dr. Marriott and his wife, Jenny and I, went out to eat on Saturday night, you can ask him. I don't do religion or I don't do preacher stories. I said, Dr. Marriott, the only thing I like about the ministry today is two things, which also means there's something I don't like about the ministry. This is what I love about the ministry. When I see something, an aha, why haven't I seen that? The second thing I like about the ministry is when somebody else has, aha. To me, that's the greatest thing of pastoring, which also means my only one struggle in being a pastor is when I pastor people for 20, 25 years and there's never nothing. Same stupid, same sin, same thing. It just can't. Why is there not an aha? Wow. So we can call that an aha moment, or the lights come on, or things just click, or eureka, I found it. Or it's an eye-opener, a light bulb moment, an epiphany. It's a breakthrough. It's a discovery. Everything falls into place. The fog lifts. The clouds part. Or if you want to say it in the King James English, there was yesterday, and then there was a therefore. And you move in a different direction. We not only pray, we not only listen, we get it. I have a lot of verses. We don't have time to deal with them. They all come from, and these are just a smattering. First funeral I ever did. I was still in Bible college. Still remember the night. By the way, if you don't have aha moments, you do realize you have a problem fundamentally in your Christian life. Which is the reason pastors preach nonsense most of the time about four or five topics over and over. There should be 100 of these. If you've been saved 10 years, you should have 100. Where you look back and said, I didn't get this, and God opened my eyes to Pastor Noel, Pastor Koach, reading a book, meditating on Scripture. Well, I walked into the laboratory, Dyer Mercy Hospital. Dr. Duren met me at the front, said, Ralph, two times in the time I worked with him, we need to talk. Walked back to his office and he said, her name was Ann, I won't give the last name. She ran the emergency room in intensive care. She said, Ann's son, he said to me, committed suicide last night. Shot himself through the throat. They didn't rule it a suicide because it didn't have the three big ones. No suicide note. The location was wrong. He was in a hallway. And thirdly, he didn't commit suicide in a way that's normal. Normally, it's in the mouth, under the head. It was a weird way. They think he might have actually been playing with his dad's revolver. Maybe. He told me, because I knew her, and you know, I was the boss on PMs, and we were friends. A little bit later, he said, Ralph, she might need somebody to do the funeral. My first funeral was a suicide. I'm going to ask you, what kind of religious nonsense are you going to give them? Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. I did the funeral. Look at me. I had never done a funeral. It was my first funeral. It was in a Catholic hospital. Not very Catholic. There are not at all anymore. But in those days, it had a little bit. The priest was there, the nuns were there, the entire medical staff was there, and here's little med tech guy down in the lab speaking to everybody. I could preach the sermon today because look at me. The lights came on. Life is divided between that which is revealed and that which is concealed. I can preach the sermon because I got it. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever gotten anything where you can look back? I had a man sitting right across the desk from me. He hated me. I'm guessing he still hates me. I'm such a nice person, I don't know why anybody could hate me. He looked at me and he said this, you'll never pastor a church. Okay? By the way, it hurt because a lot of things hurt. I was young. You say, what did you do? The Lord brought this passage in reading to my heart. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne where? And his kingdom ruleth over all. Friend, I'm not special. I'm not anything. But I knew this. If there is a God and that God is sovereign, that big fat mouth person, fat in all ways, if he wants to put me down, that's fine because I have a God that can take care of me. Can I say this to you? Since 1986, he's been doing pretty well. Do you ever have a breakthrough? Or is your Christian life the same self-centered, feeling-oriented, thinking about your hair, your nails, your dress, your makeup? Or do you ever have a breakup where you say, ah, we pray. We listen. We listen more than we talk. We listen way more than we talk. And we get it. Wow. For time, we go to point four. I have an hour on each one of those texts. Look at verse 10 again. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. This is the fourth thing that Paul did. He prayed, he listened, he got it, he moved forward. Do you understand movement? Where when somebody meets you 5 years later, they think, wow, that person has moved forward in their Christian life. They're not the same. They're moving forward. He concludes by saying, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Tom, next photo. Was it 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago? 4 weeks ago. On a Sunday night, right up here, it was before the service. I don't do this. I'm not a compulsive person with the phone, especially I've really learned something about that recently. Stay off phones. But for whatever reason, maybe the weather or something popped up and I wanted to get rid of the four things that says it was going to snow. So I opened my phone and I saw I had some new emails. So I looked. And there was one from Emily Chotla, there's one from the Fruins, there's one from Christy saying, give me those notes. There's somebody else up the top about Brian Lex, and that says, Pete Logan, reaching out. I had not physically talked to Pete Logan since probably 1988 or 1989. I had no contact with him. Listen, when I saw that, I had to open it. You say, why? I knew he had gone through some wars. Have you been through wars? Let me ask you, have you ever lost any battles? I knew he had been through some wars and frankly, listen, and had lost. Next slide, please. I'm just showing you what I have here. It says, hey, Brother Ralph. Now remember, this is on 2/26/23. Yes, February 26th. He says, I came across your email that you sent back on September 22. Do you know why I sent an email? I have 4,000 emails on my email account. And I was going back through old emails, and I saw his name that I had texted him nearly 20 years ago. I said, I'm just going to send it and see if it shows up. It never showed up, and actually I forgot about it. He found it in his spam file somehow, and he says this. Came across your email that you sent back on September 22. Would enjoy catching up with you. I know you're busy. Pray all's well with you and the family. God bless. Brother Pete, next. I ticked, call me. Gave my phone number. I said, I'd love to talk. Or send me your number and I'll call you. He called me before here. I said, I can't talk now. I can't talk to him very often because the average conversation is 2 hours each. Now, friend, I'm going to read something to you. Are you all listening? If you want to know why I don't smile at you, it will 100% be this. A Christian has instincts to pray, to listen, to get it. Why? The Holy Spirit indwells you. Why don't you get it? Why don't you ever get anything? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't indwell you. And we move forward. So here's what I wrote. It was a good friend, somebody I love, haven't spoken to. over 3 decades. Somebody that I loved and love. I had tried a time or two. The last time I got an email from him, which is one I was replying to again, I'd already replied to the other one 2 or 3 times. I saw it again and I thought, I'm just going to shoot an email. I knew my friend Pete, and I'll say this gently, had gone through some rough times, exceptionally hard times. He had been abused by 2 pastors in 2 different churches. Everyone look at me. And he had made some bad choices of his own. How do I know someone's moved forward? I knew he had made some bad choices, and through his bad choices, his oldest son got out of church. His wife got into drugs. They've been divorced for decades, 2 decades. I also knew, I didn't know how, he had 2 sons, born 10 or 15 years apart. His second son, 3 days after high school, went swimming. This is in Virginia, in one of the places where the ocean and the rivers meet. And his son drowned 3 days after high school. He'd been through wars. Finally, he called me. We talked Sunday night for at least 2 hours. And this is what I found out. He could tell the truth. He told me the whole story. His sins, his stupidity, his mistakes. He told me the pain of losing his son. His oldest son won't have anything to do with him because he went to a place called HAC, and he said, I never had time. My son was in high school, and I never saw a single basketball game because of that filthy place. Here he is. He's 68 years old. He has moved forward through wars. He's a humble man. He's a prayer man. He's a guy that wants to listen to the scripture. He's gotten it. And he's moved forward where he's not living back then, blaming other people back then. He can tell the whole truth and also talk about what he's trying to do for the Lord in his ways and circumstances today. Can I say this to you? That's Christianity. Christianity is not your big, fat mouth. Christianity is not running, moving, hiding, drinking, gambling, smoking, drugging. No, Christianity is praying, listening, getting it, moving forward. You meet them 5, 10, 15 years, and you're like, wow, that's Christianity. Father, thank you for your word this morning. I think these are basically things we learn. Some of them are just built in from salvation, and some of them we learn. Maybe we talk too much, but we start learning to not talk as much. It's